CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right. It is Monday morning. Mash has rearranged the headgear. Do you prefer wearing your headphones like that with the band? Oh, no, it's your cap. Sorry, I thought it was your headphones that you'd like
to turn. It's my cap.
Okay.
No.
Sorry. Jesus.
With a band.
No. There we go. All right. Is there anything that new that we need to add to the Sonia Matthew Booth stuff that's come up? Because I actually really, honest to God, did not pay any attention to social media over the weekend. Did I miss anything?
Well, people have been attacking Bongani, who is Matthew's side piece. She's been very, not vocal about this, but she's just been like keeping it moving, sharing stuff on social media. And she gyms at a Virgin Active. And she just started posting videos of herself at Virgin Active doing her spinning class, you know, saying all kinds of things to just make us seem like, you know, when somebody's trying too hard to act like they don't care.
Yeah.
And maybe she doesn't care, but that's how it's coming across on social media. And people are attacking her, and they were like, actually, they weren't even attacking her in particular. They were actually asking Virgin Active that, is this your ambassador? Because she kept walking around the Virgin Active and showcasing different things written on the wall.
This is like such a cancel move, and I hate this cancel stuff because you do not have the right to get in the way of someone else's livelihood or income or their business relationships just because you disapprove, as some member of the public who's not even connected to the story of what they've done. Now, I don't know who this person is. I also hate the way that there are people in this world who love to blame the third party because it means they don't have to blame the people who've actually dissolved or ruined or got in the way of the relationship working out. Much easier to blame the third party. It's like, oh, she's the bad one. Again, it's assigning blame, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It absolutely is. So they were just like, Virgin Active, are these the kind of people you have representing you? And Virgin Active was like, huh?
What's it got to do with them? Leave them alone.
What do we have to do with this person?
Don't draw the gym into... Can you imagine? Then they're going to go to the coffee shop that she stops at on her way home and say, do you really approve of having adulterers in your coffee shop? Do you want us? Anyone who says that, we should go into their history and we should get like an investigative reporter to follow them around, and we find out what skeletons are in their cupboards, because those people have a cheek going after somebody. Listen, again, I don't know her. I do know Sonia. I feel for Sonia, obviously, as someone that I know. But who the hell do you think you are, like, inserting yourself into this? And I'll guarantee you, if you looked into those people's lives, they are full of problems. Their lives are full of... That's why they're so busy following someone else's ups and downs on social media. Just because they realize, like, what shit their own lives are. Anyway... Mm.
Yeah, and this takes me back to this week's episode of the Third Draft podcast. We actually interviewed a couple. So it's a couple, a YouTube couple, and they actually have an Instagram account together. They have socials together. They have everything together as a couple. And this ties back to this because we actually did actually discuss with them about how, okay, so if you guys break up, who gets the YouTube channel? If you guys break up, who gets the Instagram account and so forth and so on?
Did they have an answer for that stuff? Because some couples don't think
they
about
did.
It. Oh, they did. Okay.
They did. But you'd have to tune in to find out.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the same old thing that most couples share the good, the positive, you know? And people are always saying on social media, but when you guys break up, you never give us the inside scoop. You guys just put out a statement and that's it. We want to see that as well. Well, now Sonia is giving us some of that. Is giving us some of the fighting and what's been happening in the back. Now people don't know how to act anymore because they're like, "Hey, man." So it actually reminds us that we actually don't want to see that.
No, I hate we this don't. Stuff. I'm in the minority here. I know there are lots of people who just love seeing other people's dirty laundry aired. It gives me no joy at all.
Yeah.
Whether I know the people or not, it's just so tacky and gross.
It is.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. And the thing as well is that
When you're in a situation like this in the public eye, it's very tempting to put out the truth on your social media so that, you know, everyone knows your side of the story. But all it does is invite a second drama.
Yeah,
it's never ending. And then you reply to that and there's more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too much.
Oh,
that's
well,
all it does.
I mean,
it does make things better.
Sanella is saying here, she's carrying on with her life. What must happen now? She must die because she had sex with the guy. Woke cancel culture must go and fly a kite. I couldn't agree more, Sanella. I could not agree more. All right. So, I mean, we could talk about this some more, but I think we're kind of done with it. Mash wants to know, what would you do if your nudes got leaked? And this did come up the other day on the show, and I think we talked about it very briefly. But are you asking because this has happened now, Mash, with your OnlyFans? Is this what is this a real problem you're dealing with? What's what? Why did you bring this up?
Gareth, my nudes have leaked multiple times.
So you don't even give a shit.
But yeah, I don't give a shit anymore. But it just started crossing my mind because I did listen to a conversation with Sis Pumi last week when you guys did discuss briefly what happened to Zanelle's Fuba.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, geez, this is okay. Imagine if it does leak, right, to this extent where it actually goes public and it's just circulating all over social media.
Right.
How would you handle it? How would you act like you don't care, like Bongani is acting?
So you spoke about this Sfuba woman who was in the Free State Legislature, right? She's the speaker or something, and this supposedly Nigerian dude has been leaking her pictures, and he was trying to extort money from her. And you remember there was that famous lawyer whose name escapes me right now, but about a year ago almost, whose nudes were leaked. What's his name?
Where? In South Africa?
Yeah. Remember, there's a...
South African.
Yes, South African lawyer, man. He's kind of very vocal on Twitter too. And then, I can't remember his name. I think it's Spur, something like that. Anyway, he was kind of... His pictures were circulated on social media. People were making big jokes about him and everything else. But a year later, I could promise you, no one's talking about him except us now. I mentioned him on the
show. Richard
Spur. There we go. Richard Spur. You see,
yeah.
Like, so what's the worst that happened? For a week or two, he was embarrassed, maybe a bit longer. Now, who's sitting there going, whoa, you know, oh, Richard Spur's nudes leaked? And no one's, you'd have to be half asleep to think that that's going to get you any attention now. So you just forget about it. You just move on.
Yeah.
You let it be.
I'm seeing this article. It says Richard Spur's beer leaked on Twitter.
Yeah, there we go. And that was a year ago, right? Does it have a date on it?
Yes. This was in September 2021.
See, there we go.
So it was about a year ago.
A little more than a year. But I can promise you, like, everybody thinks this is the worst. Okay, let's be fair about this. If you have done something illegal, you've broken the law, you've done something really terrible, let's say you hit someone with your car or, God forbid, something like that, then that's not going to just go away. There are proper consequences to that. But if your naked body ends up being shared on the internet, and I think we've said, all of us at some point on the show, that everyone will end up naked on the internet one day, everyone, it's not going to be a big thing in the future. Some people are selling their nudes right now, like Mash. I mean, you can go and subscribe to his OnlyFans and you can see anything you want and he'll take your money. But, you know, there are people, and this is maybe something we could also talk to Dr. Hanan about. There are people who, they get so depressed and worried about what everyone else, especially strangers, think of them, that they would self-harm, they would commit suicide, they would try to commit suicide, they would they'd sell everything and move to a new country or do something drastic, when the consequences of something like that would be so minor that, of course, it would be slightly embarrassing in the short term. We're not talking about big things like, again, you know, you were caught stealing from, you know, the taxpayer or whatever. Those are big things that have consequences. But if you're some famous lawyer and your penis is suddenly all over the internet, just move on. And don't let anyone try to extort money from you, right?
Yes.
I mean, how long can a person actually look at that photo until it doesn't mean anything anymore. They're not going to wake up every single day and go, oh, yes, there was that nude of Leanne Moll and look at it.
Well, I mean, it also, think about this. The kind
of, look at it once or twice and walk away.
And the kind of people, who would be obsessed with it are the kind of people who are way more interested in you than they should be, to put it mildly.
Yes.
You know?
A little unhealthily interested.
So, yeah. So, I mean, was this based on the conversation I had with Pumi? Because I think,
yes,
you know, if anyone ever tries to do this to you, just say to them, go ahead. Like, do it. I don't give a shit. And you'll be
just
fine. Like, a couple of weeks later, no one will even care anymore. That's how it goes. As long as you're not hurting people, breaking the law, you know, doing damage to society, hurting yourself. Like, you know, as long as there are no long-term consequences, this kind of thing is just not going to matter in the big scheme of things.
Because you're the victim in this case. And it goes back to something that happened a number of years ago. It's actually a singer, Sia Furla, the singer.
Right.
They actually caught a picture of her wearing, I think she was wearing a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think she had, like, she was bare bummed or something.
Okay.
And then a picture of her was caught bare bummed. And then they tried to extort her of money. And they were like, listen, pay us or we are exposing this. We are putting this out there. And what she did was actually so admirable, in my opinion. She posted the picture herself and she's like, listen, some people are trying to blackmail me. So here's the picture.
Enjoy.
There you go.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Right.
So I think that would be the most appropriate way to handle it. Because, I mean, one thing I know about blackmailers is they'll never stop.
Well, that's it.
You'll be paying for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, they'll say, oh, well, if you give me whatever, 500 grand, 5 grand, whatever they think it's worth, and then you give them that money, then they're just going to come after you for more. Because they've always got a copy of that. You know, it's not like these days you have to go to the photographic developer down the road, the Kodak shop, and then they have to make a copy of the photograph. I mean, now you can digitally copy anything you want, right?
Yes, you can. Yeah,
so
you absolutely can.
You don't know how many copies someone has of something.
Mm. And also, I'm on social media, after the whole Zanele's Fuba thing, I remember Prince KB also came on social media, and he also was a victim of his schlong being exposed on social media last year sometime.
That's such a great word.
And it turned a
great
quite
word.
A bit
schlong. That's a good word.
I haven't used that one in a while.
I know, it's good.
Show me your schlong.
Oh, Leanne, don't lie. Leanne was sending these messages all weekend. So show me a schlong.
And it was pretty long. That's why I trained it so much. But
right.
He came on social media commenting on this Zanele's Fuba debacle, and he said that when he's junk was exposed, his mother actually called him crying, and she was just crying, saying, what were you doing?
Shame. Oh, shame.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was the most saddest thing, but it reminded me that it's not just about you, you know, it's about your family as well, because your family, I mean, in their community, people are looking at them more than they're looking at you.
Yeah, listen. Yeah.
So there's so many factors to this.
There's so much. Let's just look at one or two quick headlines so that, you know, they don't say we just talk nonsense on the show on Mondays. Oh, you guys just talk shit about you know, your own your own lives and schlongs. Yeah. So first of all, here's Bihleng, who had a message for us. So let's listen to what Bihleng has to say here.
Hey, morning squad.
Mm-hmm.
Papa G, is Bihleng here? Democrats have kept the Senate, and it looks like they might as well keep retain the House as well. I wonder, how do you feel about that? You are such a Biden Kamala Harris hater, and I'm loving this.
Yeah, we'll talk to Debbie Droke about it just now, because she's a major Joe Biden fan. She's a Democrat through and through, and she and I have had many arguments and discussions, always like friendly ones, because we like each other.
Yeah.
But she was on my TV show when I was still doing that with ENCA last year as a guest, and you know, she and I are not professional pundits. We're not. You know, we're just observers, but we like to have opinions on these things. The truth is, I'm not that attached to this outcome. I didn't even spend the day like I might have done in previous elections, because I used to be a bit of a U.S. election nerd. So I would sit there and I'd have like three screens going at once, and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, this result just came in from Alaska," and I'd be like. Like I was pretending in my head, I don't even know. I must have thought I was like doing a live, you know, election update show. And I thought it was so important that I knew what was going on. Like now, I don't think I watched more than 5 minutes of the U.S. elections. So be saying that the truth is, sad to say this, I don't care what the result is. I'm not that in, it's not my thing.
Or as you would say to me, Gareth, does this mean that you're just giving up?
Well, no.
So you're just giving up. You're going to weigh flats now.
No, so obviously whatever happens in the US, this is why we spoke to two different journalists in the last 2 weeks. I'm interested in it because I need to know what's going on there. Otherwise, you know, it's a big geopolitical story. The US elections has an effect downstream on us. So you can't be, I don't care about that. Because you have to care a little bit about it. But I don't care as much as I used to, is the point. I don't get upset about it like I used to. And I look at someone like Donald Trump, and the way he's kind of almost tantruming a little bit online since the election, and I just look so dumb. It just looks so, here's a guy, you know, you've won at life, dude. You've had a great life. You've done amazing things. You became president of the United States out of nowhere. You've got billions of dollars in the bank. You've got this beautiful wife. You've got a family who clearly love you. Just take that and retire gracefully. Like, just enjoy your life. We definitely won here. We're not losers. I'm going to enter the race again. Ron DeSantis is Ron Sanctimonious, De-Sanctimonious. I mean, come on. It's just so like unbecoming. I see this stuff and I just want to get away from it, you know. It doesn't turn me on the way that it used to. There we go. Pichling. All right, so apparently also Banksy, the famous artist, has unveiled a Ukraine gymnast mural on a building that was shelled by Russia. You know, Banksy pitches up and does this amazing street art, and then it becomes very, very valuable. And obviously, because they're murals, you can't exactly put a frame around it and move it to a museum. It has to be in situ, so it has to be in a place where it is most relevant. And that's, I suppose, what makes the art so valuable too. But Banksy has made this mural of a Ukraine gymnast on this building, and the building has been shelled by Russia. So it's an interesting thing, especially if you're an art fan, to have a look at this. So let me see if I can find a picture of this quickly. But you know about Banksy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So. Absolutely. And right. What I loved about this picture is that he used a building that had been partially destroyed during all of the during the war, and used a gymnast on it to, I think, just show strength, even though the world crumbling beneath them.
Well, the gymnast is a kid.
And there was actually...
Sorry, I just want to clear this up, because the gymnast is a kid, and then the person who this kid is taking down is supposed to be Vladimir Putin, you know, who's famously...
That's like, a different one.
Oh, this
that's
is the one
a different
I saw?
One. So there's one...
Is this with, not it?
Okay, that's the second one. And that one hasn't been confirmed as Banksy.
Okay.
But if you look at the shadowing and the detail and the color, it's very similar to the gymnast. But yes, that is meant to be Putin and a young kid taking him down in some kind of martial art.
Okay. So there's another one. Okay. The gymnast is...
Yeah. The other one is also a young female gymnast.
Okay. Got it.
But she's by herself. But it's very similar in the shading and the black and white coloring. So that the gymnast one has been confirmed to be Banksy.
They still haven't figured out who Banksy is, huh? They still don't know exactly who. Some people claim they know who.
Actually, don't. Yeah, I think I saw something recently where he'd come out. That's also a different one. The one with him.
Jesus, the one that's been these things are a dime a dozen. Like, how can they be valuable if there are 500 of them on the internet that it's easy to?
There's so many.
I don't know what news article you're using, but the one that was featured is where the gymnast is doing a handstand. So she's featured upside down.
Oh, okay, here it is. There is another one. Oh my god, this is really. Listen, I didn't know there were so many of these. Here it is.
Are these all Banksy?
They're all supposedly Banksy.
Only one's confirmed to be Banksy.
All right, whatever. I mean, I'm trying. Here we've just found three. We're like, okay. So here's the one that we're talking about now. Third time lucky, everybody. Here's the supposedly famous Banksy. So it's this one, right?
Yeah.
Gymnast standing on the rubble, handstanding on the rubble with her legs. In a kind of, you know, one leg's forward, one leg's back. It's quite an interesting pose. It's a very gymnastic pose. Gareth, you should know it's all about the show, giving people what they want. I'm not sure what exactly. Oh, you're talking about the US elections. Okay, cool. Sanella says, back to the penises and the schlong. Sanella says, people are hilarious. People ended up focusing on the ashiness of Prince's schlong. Rather than anything else. Is that true? Is that true, Mash?
Yeah.
They started focusing on the ashiness of his penis.
Yeah, they're like, put some lotion on that.
Oh, people are dicks. And I mean that with all the double entendre. Yeah. Really, unbelievable. Okay. There are
Maybe
photos.
That's why his mama's crying. Yeah.
Apparently, there are photos of Trump doing the rounds, taken by a Secret Service agent while Donald is getting a spray tan, butt naked. Ugh. Really?
Oh no, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Wait, I've seen those. I think those are fake. I've seen those.
Oh.
Oh jeez.
That is a horrible thought. I had to take a moment to not throw up. Jesus. That's so bad. All right, and then the police minister, Becky Kele, has pleaded ignorance on the Palapala burglary. You know, these politicians, whenever they're caught with their pants down, he's pretending he doesn't know how this could have happened. Oh, no, I don't know. Ignorant. I had no idea, he says. This is Becky Taylor. So who believes him? Hands up, anybody? No, I didn't think so.
Nope.
So EWN are reporting this morning that in his latest response to a written question from the DA, Kele said neither he nor his office was informed of the theft of the currency from the president's farm. But who are you trying to kid, dude? It was front page news and continues to be news. Everyone in the country knows that his sofa was stuffed with cash. Are you just going to pretend that that's not something worth investigating? Aren't you and the police there to make sure that crime is not committed? And if it is committed, that it is prosecuted? Surely that's your job? Unbelievable.
I'm surprised Mr. Shoot to Kill is not going to pretend like he knew what wasn't happening this whole time. And I'm sure if you actually went through records and actually dug deep enough, you might find that he was at the right, at the same place at the same time.
Yeah, right. All right, well, there we go. Those are some of the news headlines. I know you've got some other things you want to get off your chest this morning, ass, and it doesn't have anything to do with perimenopause. This is alcohol. No. Alcohol continues to be a really big theme on this show, especially on Mondays. Anybody who had an exciting Friday. I mentioned that I was going to dinner with some cool people. I went to dinner with Vinnie Lingham, who, of course, is the well-known South African tech millionaire. He's an absolutely brilliant guy. He started a number of businesses, and he's an investor across even more. Such an interesting dude, and I got to spend the evening with him and his two brothers, and there were a few other people at the dinner as well. We just had a really, really interesting time. And even there, he was coming up with brilliant ideas. I'm going to see if we can't get him on the show tomorrow because he's in South Africa for a little bit, And he had one suggestion that I thought was just so brilliant, and it could solve a lot of problems in one fell swoop. You know, this is why I love meeting and spending time around truly brilliant people, because they just see a clear path to things that the rest of us just don't, we don't get it. You know, the rest of us have to be led by the nose, and people like Vinny, just absolutely brilliant. Anyway, so I had a few drinks with him, but what's the alcohol thing, Leanne? Tell us.
Oh, so every now and then we get from the WHO, the World Health Organization, a list of the 10 top alcohol consuming countries in the world.
Uh-oh.
To remind you that this is measured in equivalent liters of pure alcohol per capita in people over 15 years of age. Okay.
Over 15.
And there's always one country that we always know that there's one country that's going to be on the list. And this time I had a look and I was scrolling through, didn't see this country on the list. But one African country did make it onto the list. Whether you want to see that as a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, before you admit that it's it is or isn't us, do you remember when the universities in South Africa, there's some like beer drinking competition or something, and one of the universities lost it. They lost the beer competition. And then they actually scheduled like a massive drinking session that coming weekend after that. And they won back the title because they binge drank their way through a whole 48 hours or whatever and consumed more beer. I think it was Grahamstown. It had to be Rhodes. Had to be. Rhodes University is just, you know, when it comes to drinking, those guys are unassailable, I believe. We'll give them the credit here this morning, whether they deserve it or not. But but it's really, it's very funny that they publish this list, because I don't know if the countries want to be on here or if they don't want to be on here. Some people are very proud of being, you know, a country where there's binge drinking and alcoholism. Other countries are ashamed of it. So are we on the list is the only question people want to know.
Well, just to give you an idea, a lot of these countries would probably be proud. The focus is very much on beer and, you know, local beers. So a lot of these European countries kind of compete in that field. So in 10th place, for instance, you have Luxembourg. 9th is Bulgaria, also a beer-making nation.
Right.
8th place is where the African country comes in. And that is actually Uganda.
Not us.
The only nation outside of Europe to crack the top 10. And it all comes down to Malwa, which is brewed out of millet and maize, a classic drink enjoyed in the northern areas. Bushera is another traditional local drink made of sorghum. And finally, banana-based drinks, such as Tonto and Mwenge Bigere, which is banana beer, are sold as staples on many drink menus.
Don't you really want to try the banana beer?
Yes, I do.
When you're talking about it, I know.
Where was that during lockdown? We had pineapple beer.
I know it's early Monday morning, and I don't want to sound like we've got a problem on the show, but wow. I mean, that does sound good, right?
Listen, there's a thing all over Europe that's a breakfast beer. Every country has their breakfast beer. So, and quite popularly, those do have fruit flavors. There's a, I think it's a Belgian peach breakfast beer, which I've had before, which is absolutely delicious.
Lovely.
Sure. Look, Mash is like wiping his mouth. He's having such a good thought about this.
In seventh place, we have a little bit of a break from the beer, and it's onto the wine. And it's actually Europe's third biggest producer of wine behind France and Italy, and that's Spain. Don't forget, they also enjoy their sangria there.
So right.
Lots of liters going down there. Not very surprising. In sixth place is Ireland.
Yep. The Irish can drink. You know, oh, my God. Whenever I see
celebrated pastime.
Whenever I'm called over to a table of Irish people, I try to get away from them as quickly as possible. not because I don't like Irish people. They're fantastic. They've got a great sense of humor. They're lovely, friendly, warm, cool people. But you just know if they're ordering the drinks, you're in big trouble.
And also, it doesn't matter what it is. It matters which beer it is. It's probably going to be Guinness. It matters which whiskey it is. But it's across all of the different types of alcohol as well.
Okay.
Yeah. In fifth place is Lithuania. Very proud of their beer drinking as well, but also some malts and other liquors.
Cool.
Fourth place is Germany. Course. No questions asked.
I would have thought Germany would be, thought Germany would be like
number one.
Top two, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's
not
three?
Not quite. Three is Moldova, and that's next to Bendova in the Balkans.
Okay.
They've also got a history of winemaking and another fermented cherries, raspberries, gooseberries. Actually sounds amazing.
All right.
Sounds lovely.
So you got to go to Moldova.
Yes. Mm. In second place, Latvia.
Wow.
They're very much beers again. They've got something called the traditional Riga Black Balsam, which is considered the national drink. Mm. Vodka as well. Because vodka. Of their Russian immigrants, and beer as well.
Wait, before you get to number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, I thought South Africa would be on the list for wine. Because
we've been on the list before.
Yeah, we're not
on previous years.
But we're not on this one.
Huh. Yeah, you must remember, think about it. These stats were probably farmed during COVID, where we weren't drinking at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then,
we don't have to.
Well, we were drinking.
Everybody take a moment to just relax. If we're not on this list, it doesn't mean we failed as a country. What is the number one country, Leanne?
Number one is the Czech Republic.
Ah, very good. Pilsner beer is there.
What are they drinking?
Pilsner beer. Pilsner. That's it. Iconic crisp Pilsner.
The king of beers.
That was absolutely. And it's all sorts of golden brews that make up this country's annual intake. So the country that I was surprised not to see, which is usually on the list, is Australia.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is more about what you produce than how much you drink. Because
production.
Yeah, because Australia and Britain, I don't think they produce as much beer as some of these other countries. And certainly if they do, it's very commercial, straightforward, maybe machine, you know, processed beer, whereas these, we're talking about very specific kinds of beers that all of these different countries produce. Anyway, it's interesting. I'll tell you who's probably ready to have a beer. First of all, I'm just delighted that she would stay up so late to talk to us, because I haven't spoken to her for a while, and I love talking to this woman. She makes me happy. She's also probably already very happy, because the elections in America didn't go exactly the way that the Republicans or the polls, frankly, were saying they would go. All the polls were saying it was going to be a Republican red wave, and that hasn't happened. Debbie Droke, aren't you excited?
Yes, I'm excited to be on your show, because I really thought when you wanted me to come on at this particular time, it was going to be a nanny, nanny, poo, poo. Now it's a nanny, nanny, poo, poo to you. I should have, you know, you already owe me one dinner. We should have made another bet.
I do owe you a dinner.
Yes,
glad
you
reminded me about that. We'll have to fix that. I'll have to come to Washington, and you'll have to come here, but we'll do it.
We keep on talking about it. I was there. You were sick. That was in May. I was there in
September.
And you were really sick.
That was where I felt so shitty about dropping you, because it's not often that we see each other. Anyway, Debbie, so let's look at this. Now, first of all, anybody that you think is sexy and wonderful that you can't wait to congratulate for winning an election? We know that you're a Democrat. We know that you like the Dems.
Yes.
Who's your favorite Democrat at the moment? Is it Joe? Is it Joe Biden, old Joe?
You know, I think maybe because I've spent time with him. I love Joe. I think he's a great guy. And he's doing the best that he can. And listen, America spoke. And you know, I listened to your interview. Well, not all of it, but is it David?
Yeah, David Smith.
Smith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I was out. He said he was there at the Supreme Court after Roe v. Wade was overturned, mm-hmm. and he said it was just really emotional. I was there, and we had a chant. This is what democracy looks like, and I don't really know what would have happened if Roe v. Wade had not been overturned. our constitutional right had been overturned. That when I was 17 years old, I was marching with Gloria Steinem in Miami for this very issue, and I never thought that I would ever have to worry about that again. So I think that that had a big effect on getting mobilization, not only for women but for men too, because a lot of the stuff that was coming out was contraceptives and what's going to be next, and is it going to be gay marriage, you know, or you know, yeah. We have quite a few zealots.
This is like the slippery slope argument, and it's being used in the opposite direction to the way it's usually being used. But I mean, this is all, it's interesting, like the strategy on abortion for this election, if we can just get into that for a second, because I did pay enough attention to see how the Democrats did kind of switch strategies a couple of times during the campaign. And that would be normal for anybody. You change your strategy based on information, and you also try to figure out what the electorate want because you want to win votes. And it seems to me like America, despite, you know, the Republicans on the very extreme right saying, you know, they are pro-life, they do not believe in any exceptions, perhaps incest and rape, and that's it. But, you know, otherwise...
No, not even incest and rape. No.
No, I'm pretty sure that there are only a handful of people who even would countenance that is, you know, that has to happen. But there are also not that many people who say, oh, well, you should be able to abort a baby like right up to the day of birth. What it is like the reasonable American is somewhere in the middle. They're like, you know what? A woman should have a right to choose up to a certain stage.
Absolutely.
Most Americans, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are kind of in the middle there. So that's not a big election issue. If you're a pro-lifer, you shouldn't campaign on that because you're going to lose. And similarly, if you are, I mean, in certain states, you really can, you know, abort a baby well into the 20th, 25th, 30th week, because even in Europe...
That's very rare, and that's on the life of the mom. That's very rare.
But even in Europe, they say 15 weeks, which is kind of what, you know, Ron DeSantis had in place in Florida. And most of the states...
No, it's longer than 15 weeks.
Really,
it's
in Florida?
Longer than 15 weeks in Europe. No, well, in Florida, I'm not quite sure. I know here in Virginia, it's 15 weeks. That's the norm. But in Texas, it's 6 weeks. You don't even know you're pregnant by then. And you've got these vigilantes that they'll make $10,000 if they turn you in. And, you know, in South Carolina, and this is what, you know, each state has a choice of whether or not they want the abortions. And Kansas, which is very conservative, and oh my God, Kentucky took it off. That the abortion
rights
took it
off.
That's
right. And people were surprised because it's quite a red state.
You know, and it's not necessarily, you know, it is your choice. If you don't want an abortion, don't have it. And Republicans, there's a lot of people that are pro-life, but incest and rape the mother's life is at stake, and there is no options. That's when the moderate, you know, these people that, you know, it makes sense. That's ridiculous. And I think the bottom line here is that Trump backed the most right-wing, you know, zealots, and he didn't. And if he... What's scary is he had backed moderate right-wing people, you know, or Republicans, then, you know, we would be having a different conversation right now.
Don't you think he's kind of running out of steam, though? Because
I do. The other thing people have to remember in America, when you are running for Congress, you have a certain district, and the congressional person usually takes on the image of that district.
Well, they're a representative. They're there to represent their district.
Yeah. Now, as a senator for the whole state, there's only two. And there's all different opinions in that particular state. And therein lies what happened with these right-wing zealots that Trump was backing, is because not everybody is as far right or is as far left. And they're moderates, and they're like, enough is enough.
And I think,
and I really think America spoke at this point.
I want to know whether you agree with this. Like, a lot of people in America, just like in South Africa, they just want someone competent to run things, because you've had a lot of crazy stuff happening in the last couple of years. You know, COVID has made a lot of people crazy.
Right.
Donald Trump is clearly, I know he made you crazy, and I don't blame you, because he still makes you crazy. I mean, I think you're one of the people who I know for a fact suffers from like Trump derangement syndrome, but I can't blame you, because he couldn't help.
But, do you blame me?
No.
I mean, come on.
I'm saying I don't, because he couldn't even help just shutting his mouth before the midterms, just to let the Republicans who are good and who are trying to do the right thing get the votes they deserve. He had to make it about him, even there.
Yes.
Right?
All about him.
Ugh.
Absolutely. And I think that eventually will be the ruination. And let me tell you, politics, I mean, they will turn on you in a nanosecond. And so now it looks like everyone's looking at DeSantis because, you know, he's the main man right now.
Who's your favorite Democrat if Joe Biden suddenly had to drop dead? Because he is an old man. He's a very, very old man. Who would you like to take over?
You know, I love Pete Buttigieg. He's my guy. But, you know, I was talking about Daniela. I was talking to about with my daughter, Daniela, tonight. You know, Daniela. And we said, you know, Biden hasn't committed yet. It's definitely not Kamala. Kamala has been silenced here. I mean,
silenced, she's just so unpopular, and she's got nothing to say. I mean, she couldn't even win her own primary in her own state.
Well,
nobody likes Kamala.
I had a lot of faith in her.
Not even her own staff like Kamala.
Well, you know what, Gareth, I'm going to agree with you on that. And it's funny because, I've heard a lot about that. And she can't keep a staff, actually.
No, it's bad.
Is the rumors that we have. But I don't know. I don't know who... I don't know.
If you had
to... who wants to run for president as a Republican, but...
So if you had to choose, like, if Debbie Droke was, like, the queen of the United States, and you got to choose any Republican to run against any Democrat, and you know, I know you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. You're a registered.
No, I like some Republicans.
No, I know, but this is what I was getting to: is like you and your husband Bill. You voted on both sides of the ballots, right? So you're not.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you are like a lot of us. You kind of have your favorite, but then if that party's not doing their job, or you really think that they've messed up so badly, you would vote for someone else.
Absolutely. It's just common sense.
Who's in your fantasy league? If you had to pit the best Republican, like let's say the Republican that you'd love to have rather than any other Republican, and which Democrat over all the others?
Oh, gosh. Gareth, there was a, and I can't even remember his name now. He was a Republican governor for Maryland, and he couldn't run again because he did his two terms, and I can't even remember his name. Is it Hogan? I can't remember. And as for a Democrat, I would vote for him. I would vote for this former Maryland governor.
Oh, you're talking about Larry Hogan. That's right.
Larry Hogan. There you go.
Okay.
Great common sense, moderate, makes a lot of sense. I think he's pro-choice also.
Are you registered in Virginia or Maryland?
Yeah. No, I'm in Virginia. We have Yonkin.
Yeah, Glenn
Yeah,
Yonkin.
Nobody claimed. Listen, this is a good thing. I was so fearful that with this Democratic win that a lot of the Republicans would say it was fake and nobody, you know, or rigged, and nobody has said anything yet.
Well, thank God. Yeah.
Except, no one has.
Even though the Democrats have been calling all of these people election deniers for the whole of the last year, you know,
they are election deniers. And most of the election deniers that Trump backed didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, if Trump had just moved on, it's scary.
He can't move on.
To think that if Trump had just shut his mouth, moved on, and got moderate Republicans that maybe quietly thought, far right, I don't know where we would be what the conversation would be right now.
So what is the thing you and your family are talking about when, you know, like a week after these elections, because they build up and you've got all those terrible ads on TV the whole time, which we don't have to see here in South Africa. Are you relieved?
Drove me crazy.
Are you relieved it's over?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And every one of them made it was, you know, even the Democrat was a little bit far-fetched too. But I think that some of the congressional people were very spot on with the Virginia, like congressional women. Two women were running against each other. And, you know, one woman, this Republican woman said that, and she's a police officer, God help the people that she gets in contact with. She said that if you're raped, that she really didn't think you could get pregnant because it wasn't organic enough.
Jeez.
And I thought that can't be true. And she was recorded. So, wow. I mean, these are the kinds of people that we need to get rid of. And we need to have moderate on both sides. You know, I mean, there's far left that I don't agree with also.
The crazies. But, I mean, we also have crazies in government here and in politics. I think all of us, whether we are more on the left, more on the right, somewhere in the center, whatever the case may be, most of us are not on the extremes. But all of us know that it's enough of this crazy, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, now I'm moving forward. I think Trump is going to be, you know, it's going to be kind of laughable that on Tuesday he's going to announce. I mean, he still very much has a base, but the base he's lost control of also. Because remember, we had that TV show you were doing. The underbelly of America has always been there, but they never had a voice, and now they do. And Trump might, you know, Trump started all this, but he's going to be left behind. But we still have this base with this voice, and the QAnon people and all these crazy ass people are still going to have a voice, and somebody is going to represent them. The guy that I'm really worried about now, because I think Trump is in a rearview mirror, is DeSantis.
Why don't you like him? What's wrong with him?
Oh, he's smarter than Trump. I'm trying to be cool here. He's smarter than Trump. People are rallying around him now. But he talks about canceling the woke. He's very proud of what he's done with You Can't Say Gay in Florida. He's actually... he's treading very lightly, or he better tread lightly with Walt Disney World. You've heard what he's done with them.
He's not treading lightly. He's actually gone after them.
He keeps on talking about it, right?
He's gone after them. He's because, listen, I mean, this Don't Say Gable, that's not what it's called, Debbie. You know what it is, right? It's to have like preschool kids not exposed to like transgender story hour. Is that an extreme?
Transgender story hour? How many preschoolers and kindergarten kids are going to be even talking about transgender? I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Your governor.
It's kind of like critical race theory that was only taught in college, and Youngkin won over that.
That's exactly right. Your governor is in play because these things do matter to the American people.
Abortion
matters to you. No, I mean, I've interviewed Republicans, Debbie, and you know I love you, so I can argue with you properly. I don't have
Absolutely,
to. We don't have to tread carefully
back
around each other. So I've interviewed Republicans who are as passionate about this issue, about like, you know, kids and what kind of books are in the school library and what they want their kids exposed to.
And so what do? They burn them.
No, they don't.
We've had burning books in Richmond.
Listen.
We have.
Debbie.
They've burned books in Richmond.
So these people are as crazy about this issue as you are about abortion. And I'm not saying crazy in your case is a bad thing or in theirs. They care about this issue. You can't just say it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter to you, because that's like them saying, I don't care about Debbie Droke and her abortion views. She's a left-wing libtard. I don't agree either of those.
And I'm damn proud of it. No, but there's got to be some sense to all this. There's got to be, you know, why make something that isn't an issue an issue?
Okay, but we're talking
and why
about the
take
standards.
Books out of a library because it doesn't equate to what your Christian supposedly beliefs are.
Have you seen these books? Have these books go into detail? These are books for like primary school kids about how you give oral sex. I'm sorry, if I were a parent, I wouldn't want my kids seeing that in the library.
That was not primary. That was high school.
And you know what? They could
just go on the internet and find that. And that was one book. You're talking about one book. So it makes, you know, again, sensationalism.
You know that's not true.
So get that book out because somebody is having oral sex. So you throw that book out.
You're like,
get rid of it.
You're reading off the Democrat talking points here. I love having...
You're reading off the Republican.
You know what I've missed? I've missed having an argument with you. We need to have more arguments.
Yeah.
All right. So look.
Gareth, you just miss arguing.
I miss arguing with...
Gareth just misses arguing.
I miss arguing with Debbie. That's what I miss.
Well, you know, he didn't do the national anthem this time. You always had the national anthem on when I came on. So
I should play that for you now anyway, just to make you feel at home.
Don't.
You know? No, I think
okay.
I should.
Okay.
I always like to play, make you feel like, you know, we're paying attention to you. We care about you. So let me play your national anthem. That's a good point.
Thank you. I was remiss.
So here we go. I could play the Stars and Stripes, or do you want the actual anthem?
Oh, the actual anthem. If you're going to do it, let's do it. I'm very proud of America right now.
All right, let me do this for you.
It would have been a different story.
Just by the way, you know, you talk about the Democrat victory, but it isn't really. All they've done
is
they've held the Senate, and they will lose the House, and it's going to mean that Biden has
20, 20 openings. We have to win 14. We probably won't, but... we're doing a hell of a lot better than we thought we were. And we have a lot of work to do. You know, Gareth, you did a open letter or you did something, I read it, where you said that you've gotten off the social media and you don't want to argue and you know. And that's what I did. I had to block some people and stop using my energy for something that was just a waste. So what I did is I joined a women's activist group. And I'm doing grassroots efforts. And we have so much to do to make America better and to make it more, less, you know, we're so polarized right now. And I think America is,
do you want to make America great again?
Don't even say that to me. Don't even freaking say that to me. That is bullshit.
It sounded like you did.
No, we have a lot of work to do for 24, and we've got to get a good Democratic candidate if Joe doesn't run, but I think he will. But I don't know anybody other than Obama that and that's another thing you said to David. You know, are they getting like so desperate they have to bring Obama out? Obama was a former president of the United States of America.
Yeah, but
you bring out whoever you can that will make people listen.
When last did the Republicans trot George W. Bush out on the election?
George W. Has chosen not to, but when did George truck himself out when he went up against Trump? And he never was public about anything, but he became public when he didn't agree. So Bush, you know, whoever thought that I would like Bush, I freaking miss Bush.
I know.
So look, you've got somebody like Obama who just whipped Georgia into shape, you know, with Herschel Walker. He was hysterical. He said, you know, Herschel Walker was a great football player, hell of a football player. But he said, if he was walking down the corridor at an airport, and he says, hey, I'm going to fly this plane. You'd go, whoa, what do you mean I'm going to fly this plane? Are you qualified? Well, no, I can just do it. So
like that,
the
like
same
that
guy, with being a senator.
Yeah, like
they
that,
got
like,
him from Texas and made him move to Georgia.
Yeah, like the new senator for Pennsylvania who's brain damaged and had a stroke. Yeah, let's go with people who are qualified. Great
hell
move.
Of a lot better than Dr. Sure. Oz, who doesn't even live in Pennsylvania. No, all of a sudden, now he went
he
back to Jersey.
He doesn't live in Pennsylvania, but how pathetic that these are the two best people they could find in Pennsylvania. It's actually ridiculous.
Fetterman is not a bad guy. Listen, I thought he did quite well.
He can't string a sentence together, just like your President Biden.
Poor Joe. Joe's getting a little bit old. He worries me, but listen, he's doing some good things. So,
yeah, he's doing good things like spending trillions that he doesn't have and putting you guys into huge inflation cycles.
And giving people employment for infrastructure that we desperately need.
Name the bridge they're fixing. There isn't one. It's all just, it's putting old people, people who were in jobs before, back in their jobs since he made those stupid COVID rules. He and Trump. All right, listen.
Oh, my God. This could go on forever and ever, guys, right?
Yeah, I don't think we're entertaining anyone else now. Well, Mash and Leanna are even looking bored.
The bad thing is, I love you, Gareth.
I love you, too. And we'll get you on again. Thank you so much. Listen, I know how late it is there, and I really appreciate
having
you
on. I just got off a plane, so don't worry about it. I was on a cruise for 4 days. So I think I'm still drunk.
That's right. Well, good for you.
Nice.
Good for you.
I don't drink. I drank on the cruise, though, a little bit.
Well, you deserve it, especially after the elections. All right, Deb, nice to see you, and thank you for being on the show this morning.
Love you guys. Take care.
Awesome. There we go. Bye. Debbie Droke, she's so great. Even though I disagree with everything she says.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Just for the sake of disagreeing sometimes.
Yeah. Listen, I'm afraid, like, the reality is that all over the world, politics does, it spoils people. It takes away their sense of humor. And they forget that you can be in a family. I mean, it rips families apart, right?
Yeah.
Politics.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have a sense of humor about this. And even if I disagree with Debbie a lot, the nice thing about it is that we can laugh about it. We can have fun with it. And she can come on the show and she could say things that I totally disagree with, and it's okay, you know? Thank God for that. The day that doesn't happen, we know we've got a problem. I'm sorry
that
you
side,
two.
It's insane.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you two had to sit and listen to us bickering like that, but that's what happened.
Oh, no, it was thoroughly entertaining.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. Don't forget to listen to Mash and Simpiwe's new episode of the Third Drop podcast. That is up and available. And we will see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Be good. Cheers, everybody. Bye. CliffCentral.com.